It is a pleasure to be here with you. Carolyn and I have retired here in the Black Mountain area. We're out in North Fork, Right Fork in the valley. And it's still a little surreal as I drive up Assembly Drive to realize I'm not here for a conference. I'm not here staying in my aunt's cottage on Assembly Drive. I live here and I get to come here all the time. We simply smile at each other from time to time, sitting on our deck and get a big smile on our faces and say, we get to live here. We love it so much. It's really an honor for me to be able to stand in this particular place, in this particular building. Of course, I grew up knowing it as Gaither Chapel, now it's Graham Chapel. But Calvin Thielman was a pastor then, and summers I would look forward to hearing sermons from him. And to be able to stand here is not so much a testimony to anything I've achieved, but it's certainly a testimony to God's grace and to the power that he has to change our lives and to make us into something good that we might not have been otherwise had we not followed him. I want to start by telling you a story, a true story of something that happened to me about 3 weeks ago in North Fork, Right Fork Valley. Our youngest daughter, Christina, was visiting with us with her 3-year-old and 1-year-old, Ruth and Gareth. And Gareth was deciding to exercise his vocal cords. He'd found his voice, and he is a strong and mighty screamer. And after several hours of that, I thought, you know, I can do the family a favor and take this child out into God's creation and let him entertain the birds and the bees. So I took him and put him in a stroller and began to go around on a walk, a loop that I do on some gravel roads there in the valley. We'd gotten about halfway around on that, and he had calmed down. He was entranced at all the trees and the wind blowing and all of that. And up ahead, I saw something that I'd never seen before. There were two crows who were flying about 2 or 3 feet off the ground and then diving down. First one, then the other. First one, then the other. And as I walked along, I could get a little bit better view, and I thought, they must be fighting over a piece of garbage or something. As I looked, I saw there was something on the ground, but it looked like it was alive, about the size of a chipmunk, but that didn't make sense because chipmunks can just scoot out of the way. Well, I had to get a little closer to observe, so I went into the driveway, which is a long driveway, and the people that live there didn't feel like I was invading, I'm sure, and watched, and before I could do anything else, a large father rabbit ran from the tall weeds over to the side of what was a very tiny little rabbit. Now, Carolyn assures me it was probably the mama rabbit, but this is Father's Day, so it's got to be a father rabbit. And I dare anybody to tell the difference at 20 yards. You don't know. But he came roaring out of those weeds and set himself right beside that little tiny rabbit. And the crows began to take after him as well as the little one, flying down, trying to peck, trying to claw, trying to scare him off to get at the little one. Well, in Old South terminology at that point, I just kind of bowed up, and I wasn't going to have any of that. So I left the stroller and started walking very deliberately toward the scene of what looked to be a tragedy. Now, ladies, don't worry. I set the brake on the stroller before I left. Gareth was doing fine. As I began to draw closer, the crows noticed and the father rabbit noticed. The rabbit scooted back into the weeds because he was scared of human beings, as he should be. And the crows flew up at about 20 feet in a tree, off away. And there I looked down as I walked up, and it was the tiniest little rabbit I have ever seen. And I couldn't leave him there, but I'd never picked up anything like that. I didn't know if at that age they had teeth, or they developed in their claws and their hind feet or what, but I couldn't leave him there. So I stooped down and picked him up, and he fit just inside the palm of my hand, the warmest, softest little creature you can ever imagine. In my hand, I could feel his little heart just pounding away in terror at what had been happening. He didn't try to get out of my hand. He didn't try to jump away. He just lay there. And so I slowly walked over to an outbuilding that was about 10 yards away, and I gently laid him down underneath the edge of that so the crows couldn't come in from above and get at him and give his father a fighting chance to come back and reclaim the little one. I want you to remember that story because I'm coming back to it at the end of this message. But just let that image stay in the back of your mind. We're going to revisit it. For our scripture reading, we are in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, this is your word. This is true. This is what gives us sustenance for our souls and hearts and minds. And we simply ask you now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to use your word to sink deep into our minds and hearts, and to change us, to alter a course that we're on, and to become more like Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. For a long time, I've often felt that Joseph got the short end of the stick and all the Christmas stuff that goes on. Think about all the Christmas carols that are about Mary, and I think I've maybe found one that was about Joseph. He kind of tends to get overlooked as we consider the birth of Christ and all that's happened, and certainly Mary is due all that we can give her and the honor that she receives. But so does Joseph. Who would think God would provide a scoundrel to be the husband of this woman to raise the Son of God? It won't happen. This man, we're told, was a son of David. As we see what little we know about his life, he was a godly man, a good man, a compassionate man. And he put a lot at risk to become the husband of Mary and the father of Jesus. Think about it. Yes, of course, with Mary, it was an embarrassment to the family. Yes, she was with child. She goes off to stay with a cousin for a while. She comes back. But Joseph, men, I think only you can understand how this man felt. He was engaged to this woman and finds out she's pregnant, and he knows it's not him. And yet he doesn't strike out in anger. He could have called the elders. He could have called the rabbis. He could have had her stoned. But he was not that kind of man. He was compassionate. And we are told in the scripture that I read that as he was considering what to do, he decided he would just very quietly divorce her and put this behind him and get on with his life. And while he's considering that, God speaks to him through an angel in a vision and tells him, as angels often have to do with human beings, don't be afraid. And then he goes on to take Mary for your wife, because this is of God. And Joseph takes God at his word. At a risk of the ruin of his own reputation, of his own career, of his own income, of his own future, Joseph makes a decision to throw all of that away, but to obey God. And it's summed up so simply, and yet so much happened. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. Now, there's a conversation I would have liked to have been in on. This man and this woman comparing what God has said to them. And it's all about the child that's within her and who it's going to be and how they are to relate to each other as well as to him. Joseph was a good man. And in a very real sense, Joseph adopted Jesus before he was ever born. He said, I will be the father of the child. I will be the husband of this woman, and I will raise a family. And certainly we're told in Scripture, after Jesus was born, there were many other brothers and sisters born to that family. But Joseph was willing to obey God in spite of all the other things that could be done because he knew it was right. He's an example of a godly father. He provided for this little one and for his wife. As they went to Bethlehem for the census, he found a place for them. It wasn't elegant, but it was a place that was shelter. He was there for the birth, amazed at the shepherds and the wise men as they came, received the gifts, realized he could use gold, frankincense, and myrrh to help support his family because he didn't have much future in whatever his trade was. He may have been a carpenter, he may not have been. We don't know at that time. He not only provided for them, but he protected them. After the wise men left, God again spoke to Joseph and said, Joseph, Herod is going to kill all the little children in this city. Get out now. And in the middle of the night, Joseph wakes his wife up, gets this baby in swaddling cloths, and they head out to Egypt. And he didn't know anybody in Egypt, but he trusted God, and he protected them from harm. And the whole time they were in Egypt, he did the same thing. And maybe there he learned to be a carpenter. Maybe he used some of what he had from the wise men to buy the tools and to learn how to make furniture and wood working. But he provided for them, he protected them, and he nurtured them. He nurtured and trained this little child so that we find out when Jesus was 12 years old, they had been going on a regular basis to the temple for an annual visit. He was training Jesus in the Old Testament, his father, his adopted father. And as we see in the life of Jesus and the quotes that he makes, he's quoting from Scripture over and over and over again that his father had taught him. Now, here's a wonderful example of a godly father. We all say it, but I'm not sure we're all aware of the great effect a father has on children. Yes, a mother and a father. We normally think of the mom as the nurturer, the dad as a provider. Well, that's true, but there's so much more to it than that. Our fathers are the ones who gave us our view for authority. Our fathers are the ones who gave us our understanding of responsibility. As small children, we look to them as a person of strength and of wisdom, and what they told us, we believed. Nobody was really all that conscious of it, but our minds, our hearts, our souls were being molded not only by our mothers, but also by our fathers. And the qualities that were there were meant to guide us in how we were to live. A strong man, a tender man, a compassionate man, a wise man. The list could go on and on. But there's some other characteristics of a godly father I'd also like to point out to you. It's a passage that you all know, you've all had memorized, I'm sure. But maybe you haven't thought about it in terms of a father. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. We don't think of those as particularly manly characteristics, but that is the fruit of the Spirit. It is what every Christian should be bearing, and certainly fathers should exhibit those characteristics in their families with their children. Now, many of us here had wonderful fathers whom we honored and who were honored by the society in which they lived. They were a pride to look to, and for that we must be thankful. But I've lived long enough to know that in a crowd this size, there are also a good many people who had fathers that maybe weren't so nice and weren't so kind. Fathers that may have been distant physically, so that they didn't even get to know who they were. They were gone so much. Fathers who were distant emotionally. They were there in body, but they were tuned out to something else. They never opened their heart. They never became vulnerable to you as a child. Even some fathers who went beyond just neglect and were mean. They were harsh with no redemptive aspect to it, and they hurt us. That affects us too. Fathers have a huge effect, either for good or for ill. And if your father was of the latter, I'll bet it's hard for you to think of God as a wonderful heavenly father. Because our fathers train us to understand what God is like. And if they were mean and hurtful to us, we're going to transfer there and think, well, this heavenly father, I don't know. The one I knew was mean and hurtful, and at times even abusive, and certainly neglected me. It affects everything. It affects relationships with children. But I've got good news for you. For those of us who had wonderful fathers and those of us who had dads that weren't so great, as Christians, we have been adopted by a perfect heavenly Father. And He is good. Oh my, is He good. The fruit of the Spirit, He's the one who gave that. He is the author of all of that. He knows what it is. And in a very real sense, the work of Jesus Christ in His death, resurrection, and ascension, paying the price for our sins, allowed us to be adopted into God's family. Now remember, Joseph adopted Jesus. Now we realize Jesus has adopted Joseph into the family of God. It's an amazing thing. And through the work of Christ, we belong to another family. It's not just our biological moms and dads, brothers and sisters, cousins. We are adopted into a much larger family, and Jesus talked about it in Mark chapter 3, verses 31 through 35. And Jesus' mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." And by that statement, Jesus has radically changed our understanding of family. To have a good biological family is a wonderful gift from God. But if it wasn't so good, take heart, because there is another family that you've been adopted into, and it will bring good things into your life. There is affirmation, there is love, there is vulnerability, there is leadership, and the healthiest way possible. And every man here, some of you may not have children. You're not getting off the hook. Every man here, because of what Christ has said and done for us, can have children, not in a biological sense, but in a spiritual sense. You can find little ones who need a father figure, a male voice that is not screaming at them, a tender but strong man who will read to them, hold them, model to them what God is like. No, every man here can be a father, whether it's in a biological sense or not. And as I look at this group, I realize that there are a lot here who may have grandchildren. It doesn't let up for us either. These little ones can be greatly influenced by a grandfather who spends time with them, who reinforces what mom and dad are teaching, or if mom and dad are not teaching, can give them another option. This is the way of God. This is who Christ is in me. An old man, I've loved him for all these years. I want you to know him and love him too. Every man can be a father or a grandfather to many children who need a dad. Also, I encourage you to overcome negative ideas of what a heavenly father might be like. Come back to Scripture. If you want a homework assignment, I tell you, go back this week, get a concordance in your Bible, and look up in the New Testament every time the word father or my father is used. And it will educate you about what a father is to be like. Jesus over and over again was talking about my heavenly father, my heavenly father, my heavenly father. And what he does are explained to us. Now, I want to go back to my rabbit tail. Bring that back to mind. Fathers, grandfathers, protect the little ones from evil. Stand before them. Keep the crows in this world off those little lives, because this world wants to tear them apart. You know the family is under attack in our own culture in this country. It is around the whole world. It's not just us. And there's a need for fathers to come and at their own peril, come out and stand between that little one and whatever is trying to attack him, to tell him he's worth nothing, to tell him he's awful, to tell him he won't make it, to tell him he doesn't measure up, whatever it is. As a father and as a grandfather, you stand between that little one and anything that wants to harm him and assure him, oh no, you are loved. I'm going to protect you. I'm your dad. I'm your granddad. It's going to be okay. And if you see that you're standing there and you feel like you're just not winning against the tide of culture that is swamping our nation, I've got news for you. There's help on the way too. Remember when I went over to pick up the little one? There was help for the daddy rabbit. He couldn't keep those crows away, but I could. And your heavenly father can. And he will pick you up and carry you to a safe place. And you will have the strength to continue to protect the little ones in his name. The last passage I want to read to you is from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then that we may also be glorified with him, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. The family, God the Father, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, children by the score, the family of God. Fathers, it is our responsibility to protect these little ones. And no matter how old our children get, they will always be our children. We don't want to ever undercut their spouses, but at the same time, we want them to know the truth. We want them to know a loving heavenly Father and represent him to them. But the most important thing any man here can do for any child of any age is to lead them to Jesus Christ. We may not be able to change the material conditions. We might not be able to change the educational conditions, but the one thing we can do is be a faithful witness for who Jesus is and to tell him how much we love him, how much he means to us, what he can do for them, and urge them to embrace him for themselves. No greater gift can a father give than that. And they will listen if you have loved and nurtured and protected and provided for them. They will know it's important for them too. I want to conclude this morning by ending with a time of silent prayer. I'm going to guide you in different sections of this, and I encourage you not to be afraid of the silence. There'll be some rather long times that maybe you're not used to, but open your heart up. There's no special way you have to talk to God. Just be honest with him. And I will lead you through this time of prayer to God, your Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how wonderful to know that we do not need to be afraid. No matter what the enemy may look like, there is no power greater than you. Forgive us when we've forgotten that. Forgive us when we have come up short, as we all have in being fathers and grandfathers. Encourage us, Lord, and give us the wisdom we need to continue to provide a godly example for all those who look to us in the role of an authority. And grant, Lord, we never betray that trust that these young ones place in us. We do love you, Lord God, because you first loved us. It is overwhelming to realize that we are truly your sons and your daughters, and we will be with you forever. You are the perfect Father. We love you. We trust you. And we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.